Hello, what's up everybody? Welcome back to our Thursday Night Live. How's everybody doing? This is Frankie.
And I'm Ryan. Hi, yeah. Hello.
Hello, anybody here knows Ryan or not? If you guys know Ryan, please type Ryan in the comment box. Yeah, you shouldn't be a stranger anymore, lah, right, to the channel, right? Well, if you guys follow the FAQ channel, which is my channel where I talk a lot about investments, markets, I interview a lot of people. We also have one show called The Weekly Roundup. So Ryan is my co-host in this Weekly Roundup session. Maybe you want to do a little bit of introduction of yourself.
I am Ryan from The Coffee Break. So what we do is we have a newsletter that shares on local global business news every day, Monday to Friday. We send it out about 8 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, we want the whole idea of the newsletter is to sort of make you smarter or make Malaysians smarter in general, just to keep abreast with the news.
Yeah.
So remember to subscribe and check it out, thecoffeebreak.co.
Bring back Peter. Peter has another event to attend. So today, I'm doing this together with Ryan.
Yes, it's my first time.
It feels a bit weird in the studio right now because I keep on having the weekly roundup mindset now. Yes. It's like, I'm going to talk about news now. But no, today we are not talking about news, right? Today, since Peter is not around, and as you guys would know, if you follow us long enough, is that whenever I become the host, I like to talk about stocks.
Yes.
Yeah, because that is something that a lot of people would be interested to know as well, right? And today specifically, we are going to talk about a new IPO that is going to come to the market very soon, right?
Yes, I think it's been on the news since last year, October last year.
Yeah.
I think The Edge published an article saying that, hey, there's a highly anticipated IPO.
Mm. Right. This is like this, right? Because a lot of companies, they want to go IPO. Mm. And then for some reasons, the news channels are faster than the releases of the announcement.
Yep.
Right? Okay, so why do we suddenly know that 99 Speedmart is coming out, and then where do we get all the information? If you go and try to dig out, you may be lost a little bit. Now, let me just share with you guys, before any IPO is launched in the market, the first step that they have to do is this thing called a prospectus exposure. So they will come up with the draft prospectus and they will list it on the SC website, the Securities Commission website. If you don't know how to maneuver the website, it's pretty simple. You just go to sc.com.my. There's this tab called Resources. And then under the Resources tab, there's one line called Prospectus Exposure. Once you click there, it's like you found treasure like that. All the IPO lineups for the year or maybe even sometimes even 2 years down the road, they will just list it there. The reason for that is to let the public to have the first draft, to have some kind of understanding of what kind of IPO that is coming to the market.
Like if it's an offer for sale or...
Correct. Yeah. Most of the information will be there, put it that way.
But it's a draft.
It's a draft. So it's still subject to change, right? Because it is not the final version. And you will notice that a lot of all the sensitive numbers, like what is the valuation of the stock, what is the price of the IPO, when is it going IPO, this kind of sensitive information, right, will not be there. Simply because I think they themselves also haven't decided yet. But what you can find in the prospectus exposure is any other things apart from all this sensitive stuff. So you know about the history of the company, you know what they do as the business model, a little bit of their financial information as well. So if you have been seeing a lot of all these social media posts about 99 Speedmart and all that, I believe most of the information comes from this document.
As it should be, there should not be any other reference but from this document.
Right. In fact, I think the most accurate one would be from there.
But it's a bit heavy to read.
Because it's a few hundred pages of...
A lot of words, a lot of numbers that you may not be aware of, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. So, 99 Speedmart, what is your first impression when you saw that IPO coming?
I think it's going to be hot. It's going to be IPO of the year.
IPO of the year.
I know we've just started the year, but I think it's going to be an IPO of the year because it's anticipated by a lot of people, and I think some background about this company is like it's privately owned. Mm. Husband and wife, I think, are the main shareholders until today. Mm. So why would they own a list? I think that's one question that I have, right? And it's not like a VC fund or like a private.
Yeah. Okay. So usually when company goes listing, right? What are the other reasons that a company wants to go listing? Maybe you can share from your experience dabbling into this stock market.
I think it's usually they want the cash to expand. They want the funds to expand their business. Mm. So you would see people want to talk about overseas expansion, ASEAN expansion, build more plants, build more distribution centers. Mm. But in this case, I think they are quite self-sufficient because they've never had funding, maybe other than bank borrowings, they've never had external fundings, right?
Yeah.
So what is really the reason why they own a list? Is it cash out? Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe it's a good time to cash out. They've built a sizable amount of assets or cash balances, or the business is sustainable. Maybe they want to list, you know, it's a good time. And I think listing doesn't happen overnight. It's not like they talked about it 6 months ago and they want to list. This has been ongoing for a while now. I think at least minimum 3 years, because they have to show good financials for 3 years.
Yeah, there are some guidelines before you can go listing. If I'm not mistaken, if I can remember correctly, because I've been out of the industry for quite a while already, so I cannot remember. But if I can recall, 3 years minimum profit, you must be at least 60 million cumulative.
For main market,
yep. Something like that. So if you don't hit that threshold, you will not be able to list the company on the stock exchange. Mm. Correct. But okay, so 99 Speedmart, I think it is a household name that everybody is familiar with. Any of you who go to shop at Speedmart 99 often, if you do, can you just type 99 in the comment box so we can do some market survey here and see whether the numbers there is actually legit or not, or they just simply throw numbers there and then, you know, try to play their way around. So yeah, if you guys go to 99 Speedmart often, can you just let us know so we can gauge a bit of the market sentiment here? It also helps everybody to see how big or how small is their customer base. Then from there, then we can gauge and see, maybe actually not so many people go to Speedmart 99. 99 Speedmart, sorry.
I think that's maybe another way to also gauge how big they are is like around your taman. Around your vicinity. How many Speedmarts do you see?
Wait, let me think. My taman itself, 1, 2, 3, 4. Four.
Yeah.
My taman is not a very big taman, but it has 4 Speedmart 99.
Correct. So I live in Klang, and I know 99 Speedmart is from Klang.
Yeah.
But the way they have expanded is just along a main stretch of street, right? Like a main road. There are probably close to 9-10 outlets.
Mm.
I mean, it's a long road, maybe 5 kilometers, but there are 9-10 outlets because it's taman after taman. It's not like I don't live in like a properly gated, guarded community. Mm. So gated, guarded may be a bit different, but if you live in like a normal taman, or you see one taman here, we'll have one. Mm. The next taman will have another. So I've seen a lot. And it's a very different strategy, I think, compared to, let's say, like the giants, like Lotus or even Jaya Grocer for that matter.
They have a very unique business model, I would say. Okay, so if you talk about the retail space, right? Retail business, basically, you can split into two parts.
Mm.
One is the non-grocery kind of retail. So you have apparel, you have like department store,
electronics,
you know, the kind of stuff. So you to use companies to represent this, right, it would be like Singheng,
Harvey Norman.
Let's go with the listed ones. So, yep. So you have Singheng. You have, what else do you have? Paxson.
Padini.
Padini, correct. So this category
is My News.
Oh no, My News is considered the grocery side.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
So the non-grocery side, you have these representations. Now you have the grocery side of the retail segment, right? And it can be further broken down. You know, you have your mini mart, convenience store, hypermarket, supermarket. So there are different categories. And how they categorize themselves is usually by the way of the size of each of the outlets. Yeah. So where do you think 99 Speedmart sits in this sub-segments of the categories?
Mini market,
right?
Yeah, I would think mini market. Because it's usually just two. Two shop lots.
Mm.
Or a corner shop lot. That's how I've seen most of their stores. Right? Because they have so many SKUs.
Yeah. For me, I find it a bit challenging to categorize them. You see, their business model is very unique. Number one, they operate like a supermarket, meaning to say if you enter a 99 Speed Mart, you go in one round, you come out, you should be able to get 1 week worth of groceries. So that's a bit like supermarket like that. Mm-hmm. But supermarket, usually the size is quite big, right? Mm-hmm. You are talking about Jaya Grocer, Giant, Lotus, that kind of size. But when you talk about their size, right, it's not very big, like you mentioned just now. Maybe two shop slots, one shop lot sometimes even. But how they operate is like a convenience store. Sometimes you get two or three, like my Taman, I get 4.99 Speed Mart in one Taman itself, which is not a typical grocery store kind of model. Right? Like, for example, my Taman, the whole Taman only got one Jaya Grocer. But one Taman got four 99 Speed Mart. So I would say they are operating in a rather hybrid kind of model. What do you think is the advantage or the disadvantage to have this kind of model, if any?
I think for them, it probably lowers their cost of operations because they have so many outlets. Like they have distribution centers, right? That logistics cost, they can just go, instead of going one distance to another, they just go, one distance, I send one truck, right? It will settle all four already. Maybe that's one. But it's also like economies of scale for them, like, because they can do it.
Okay, today they have about 2,540 stores, if I remember correctly. With this IPO, they're going to raise some funds, right? Now, they never break down how much money is going to go where and where, because this is still a draft prospectus. But one of the objectives that they're going to do this IPO is exactly for that, like expansion. They're quite aggressive, you know. Every year, they plan to open 250 new stores. And the IPO proceeds should be able to sustain them for 3 years of expansion. And each year is 250. So 250 is 700.
So that's five stores every week. you think about it, it's five stores every week. So it's anything pop up. I mean, there are more people, there are more houses. I almost think they are quite saturated, really. I mean, look at it. Maybe they're targeting those segments where, you just really go inside and get one, two things. You're not going there to buy like a trolley load. Right, you're going there to buy buy bread because that's what I do. You want to buy milk, you want to buy bread, maybe you want to buy sugar or some biscuits, that's it.
Correct.
But at the same time, if you see tissue paper that you need to buy, there's tissue paper that I need to buy.
Usually you end up buying more things.
You walk there, unless you really targeted, you want to go buy one thing. Right? Because convenience stores are like that. You go to convenience stores, right, really because it's convenient and you want to buy one thing.
Yeah.
But then SPMI is like, you go inside, my sugar also running low already. My salt's running low. I could buy a bottle of soda or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But speaking of that, 99 Speed Mart is a very weird kind of mini market. While it is convenient, but I don't really like to shop there. The experience is not great. It feels like Kedai Runcit with aircon. It feels like Kedai Runcit with aircon. So it's like I go in, I want to quickly just grab my stuff and come out.
Precisely.
I want to quickly go inside and come out. So maybe that's the bad side of the business model. Because usually businesses want you to stay inside as long as possible. Because the longer you spend inside, that means the more things you're going to take and more things you're going to buy, then they make more money, right? But in this case, they don't have that feeling for me. So whenever I go in, I want to come out quickly. But it's also that business model that makes me keep going back to 99 Speed Mart because of the convenience and the price.
It is cheaper than bread, if you look at the tag. The breads are usually maybe like $2.90.
Slightly
they would sell cheaper. 10 cents, 20 cents cheaper. And it's an attraction because, you go, hey, you buy bread. You want to buy bread. Just go to 99 Speed Mart and buy because it's near, it's cheaper. No reason to go anywhere else. You don't have to drive some more. I'm sure for mine, you can walk. I think they're also targeting those that distances where you can walk.
It's usually very close to neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of value of money, right? I want to talk about the sponsor for this podcast. So this podcast is sponsored by Zeus. their tagline is coffee is necessity, it's not luxury, right? So perfectly fits into this IPO's business model as well. They provide value to their customers. Yeah. What are you drinking, by the way?
CEO Latte.
CEO Latte. Yeah, oh, this is Peter's favorite drink.
Is it?
Mm.
So I'm replacing Peter today, so I have to drink.
Well, mine is also CEO Latte. Mine is with normal milk, but Peter likes to drink it with almond milk. But do you know that Zeus Coffee, they have two types of coffee beans, right? One is called Boss.
Oh, is it?
That one is okay. More like a dark chocolate, smoky kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. The other one is called Lydia. That one is more nutty and fruity. Oh. To me, I don't like that one because it's a bit sourish.
Okay.
I prefer the dark chocolate taste. So, yeah, and usually I will go for this one.
Good. Thank you, Zeus.
Thank you, Zeus, for some sponsoring, right? Yeah, great coffee. We love you guys. Now, coming back to this 99 Speed Mart, the ticket price, when it is so cheap, how do they make money?
If you look into the prospectus, I also found it a bit interesting because that's not how they make their money. They also make money from selling goods, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But there's one other income that actually makes them profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is the promotions and the ads. The shelf placement. That is where they make money.
Okay, maybe just to share with you guys for those who don't understand, right?
It's a bit technical, I know.
Yeah, it is a bit technical, but that's the beauty of stock investing, right? You get to explore, so this is how this industry makes money. This is how they get their revenue and all that. So now we are going into actually how all these grocery stores make money apart from just selling things on the shelf to the normal people. Mm. So there's this thing called the shelf placement. Okay, let's say we walk into a 99 Speed Mart store, right? It's only two shop lots. Mm-hmm. Maximum is maybe 50 feet, 60 feet, right? It's a very small space. But when you talk about everything under the sun that they can sell, right? It's probably like thousands of goods that they can be placed inside the store.
Mm, a lot lah.
So how do you guys think that they choose the items to put on it? You all want to take a guess or not? We give 3 seconds.
Those that work in FMCG cannot lah.
But those who don't know, maybe you don't know. Maybe it's like, it never struck my mind before that. How all these SKUs or how all these items are being chosen to be placed on the shelf? And the reason is very simple. You have to buy the space. And it is not one shelf all same price one. Eye level usually is the most expensive. Yep. Yep. Then for the kids' items, usually they want to place it lower so the kids can reach it. So for kids' items, if you want to place it lower, it's more expensive. So you need to buy the space for you to put. So goods that are not selling well, they don't want to feature you also. They'll say, I will kick you out because I will replace it with another product. So that is one way how retail stores make money apart from just selling goods. But apart from that, of course, they have all the advertisement, like all the announcements. Like, hey, today we have like...
99 Speed Mart does that. Maybe I'm not long enough to...
I don't think 99 Speed Mart does, but the bigger ones...
The bigger
retail stores would do that.
Like your Aeon and all that.
So, do you have any insights of the... of the listing or not?
Insights, whatever I get from the prospectus.
Yeah, so so where I'm coming from is like, how many shares are they listing and all that stuff. Because I was just glancing through the prospectus, I didn't have the time to actually deep dive into it yet.
So I've got some stats here. 1.28 billion shares. Okay, 1.028 billion offer for sale, which is a... catching up lah.
Offer for sales means existing shares, they are taking it, forking it out from their pocket and then offer it to the investors.
Yep.
So if you buy those shares, the money don't go to the company. It goes back to the existing shareholders' pocket.
And 190 million new issue.
190 million.
So 1.2 billion lah in total that they have listing.
Oh. But I think this 1.2 billion is not confirmed. It is what the news... say uni. Because the valuation is not out, the price is
correct,
not out.
Correct.
So we wouldn't know what is the
how much they want to raise. So it's a unknown.
Correct. Yeah. So, but what can I just throw a question to the audience, right? Yeah, just now I saw a few people who type 99 means that you all go to SpeedMart 99 to spend. I just want to gauge a little bit to do another market survey here. Whenever you go to a 99 SpeedMart store, usually how much do you spend each time? Okay, while you all type the answer there, I want to ask you the same thing also. Since you say sometimes you go there and buy bread and stuff, right? So usually one time, how much do you spend there?
Not more than... I only buy bread, so not more than 5. Sometimes I would spend maybe 10, buy tissues.
But tissue is quite expensive, like, right, these days.
Yeah, for 15, right. Maybe you buy oil or you buy biscuits. Average ticket size, I would say between 15 to 20.
15 to 20, yeah. When I looked through the prospectus, I actually saw the number. Mm. The exact number is about 23 something per receipt. So that's on average how much one person spent. Mm. Yeah, so if you calculate, if let's say they have 100,000 people visit them every day, then you just 23 ringgit or whatever, you times that number, that would give you a rough gauge of what kind of revenue they get every single day. Yeah, so that's a matrix that people use when they want to estimate how much revenue a grocery retail store like that can make. And then from there, they do their forecast to come up with the profit. And then from there, they put a valuation there.
Yeah. Our viewers are quite spot on also. They are also spending about that range.
Yeah, so it's quite spot on. It's quite spot on. So you see, and this the reason why we want to do this session today, for my own selfish reason, is to do a lot of all this away to verify those information
that is in the process.
That is in the prospectus, so that everyone can have a more informed and accurate kind of gauge of this IPO. So when all the details come out in the future, right, then it helps us to make an informed investment decision. So remember to tune into our Thursday Night Live every single week.
Yes.
On and off, we will do this kind of stuff. Right?
Yeah, I think especially there's an exciting news right this week. And when the prospectus came out, I think a lot of people had comments on it. Mm. And everyone was asking, hey, can buy. Even my sister, can buy.
Because CIMB is the principal and book runner of this deal.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, we won't go too far, but
everyone will ask that because it's also a brand that they know, right?
Yes.
So I think that's also about listing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the brand affinity matters.
It is an easier to understand business because it is a household name. Yeah. And I know why it is an easy sell is because if you notice FAQ channel, right? Because I do a lot of interviews, when I interview household names like Farm Fresh, like Judex, these kind of names that is very familiar, we see the brands every day, the views are higher. Right?
Mm.
But when I talk about other companies like Jishen, TechCycle, this kind of more industrial kind of products where it is more behind the scene kind of company, even though the potential can be like 2 times, 3 times or 10 times kind of potential gain, nobody watch, right? Maybe because they are not familiar with the business, so they thought like, maybe I won't understand those content.
But that's exactly why they should tune in, right?
That's true.
Yeah, because so they can understand the business more.
That's true. But maybe we should do more 101 stuff also. Stuff. So if you think that is the right direction, you can tell us in the comments also so that, the people who are managing the content can help us to produce more of this kind of easy to understand content for you guys. Maybe TCB can also...
We are intending to release more
correct
details on this IPO. On this draft prospectus, at least, right? We're trying to break it down and make it easier to digest because, again, it's a huge document. It's a long document, so there's a lot of details. Sometimes, you may miss, even we ourselves, we may miss certain things, a thing or two from the prospectus.
But this IPO, from what I understand, the amount of share is actually very little to be offered to the public. Now, before I go any further, I want to give you guys a context first. Under the Bursa rules, right, whenever a company wants to go listing, they must offer at least 25% of the company to the public to reach a minimum requirement as a public listed company. So if the company is worth 1 billion ringgit, you must fork out at least 250 million worth and sell it to the public.
Yep.
But for this IPO, they are writing in to Securities Commission to ask for an exemption. What kind of exemption? Is they are asking permission to not go up to 25%. Means they want to keep more for themselves. So it's very weird, right? On one end, you want to list your company.
You want to get funding.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you know.
You're not also selling a big chunk of your business.
Yeah.
Right. It's I think it's about 17%.
17%.
14.5% it's going to be institutional. 2.5% retail.
2.5 retail.
5% retail. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good luck. Good luck, everybody. If you guys want to go and fight for the IPO shares, good luck.
I think it's may odds be in your favor,
lah. Yeah. But this is something that is very rare, lah, right? Usually people will just, okay, you know, since the ruling is 25%, I'll just list 25%. What is the reason? I don't know. Maybe we should also invite the founder and CEO of 99 Speedmart to come on an interview. If you think we should do that, put that in the comments so that we can screenshot it and then show it to them and say, hey, you see, there are a lot of requests. Please come to the show, like that, right? So what do you think they will use the money for? Because 17% is not to say a lot of money, because it is just 17%.
I mean, the previous report said they were aiming to raise 1.5 billion lah.
Whoa.
That was the previous report.
1.5 billion with 17% share.
Not sure it was 17%. So okay. Even if it's 17%, if you take, let's round it up to 20 lah. So that's a $6 billion valuation. Right?
Okay.
No. 7.5 billion actually. Because 1.5 times 5. Yeah, 7.5 billion. Almost 8 billion valuation lah for this
wow.
company.
Wow.
Yeah. But not known yet, not listed in the prospectus. It's just based on previous reports.
Yeah, based on the Edge articles, I think, right? So, okay. Another survey question. If this IPO comes live, that means it's open for bidding. How many of you here intended to go and subscribe for that IPO? If you intend to subscribe, please put yes in the comment box so we can gauge and see what is the reaction from the market right now. Well, not the entire market, but it's just like 69 people of you. It's a very small sample size, but yeah, we are still able to get a gauge of how hot or how cold is the IPO going to be, right? So if you think that you want to subscribe to this IPO, put yes in the comment box so that we are able to see how the market thinks about this IPO market. Not IPO market, about this 99 Speedmart IPO. Yeah. Do you have any other things to comment about this IPO?
Not much, I think, but I think there's a lot to digest. And they have also there are some interesting facts in the prospectus, like how much dividends they gave out in the past few years. And it's only imagine the shareholder only husband and wife.
So it's two main shareholders,
right? So they have given quite a lot of evidence in 2021 and 2022. So there's also something to wow. I mean, because again, the biggest question I have is why are they listing? Because there's no need to share this piece of pie, right? If you're making good money, because if you go listing, there's public scrutiny all the time and your accounts have to be audited.
Correct. Not just that. If you remain as a Sendirian Berhad, right, you can do anything you want. But if you're listed, right, you must have accounts committee. You must have board compliance members. Committee. Yeah, board members. Your board members must have a certain percentage of a women representation.
Correct.
That kind of stuff, right? So there are a lot of compliance for you to do. So why do they want to take out the hassle to list when they are already making good money? And they can, with their position today, they can continue to get bank borrowings and all the credit lines, right?
Yeah.
But speaking about that, suddenly I thought of about one aspect of things, right? Which is competition. I think after the success of 99 Speedmart, more and more of this kind of model is start to emerge. KK Mart.
But KK Mart's competitor has always been 70. Because they're always side by side to 70.
Mm.
Right?
So KKMart's model is also a little bit different.
Mm.
They are, okay, so if 99 Speed Mart is a hybrid of a supermarket and convenience store, right? So they created a new kind of breed for themselves. KKMart is sort of kind of skew back a little bit towards convenience stores.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the feel and the thing feels more like a convenience store than a supermarket.
Yep.
But having said that, I believe you are still able to get most of the things that you want from KKMart today.
Actually, you can because with, they are stacked,
with,
like
with better experience.
Yeah.
The aircon is cooler. The ambient is brighter, you know? Yeah, so I'm not sure if one day KKMart comes IPO and they were to compete with 99 Speed Mart, how would the response be like?
I think the smaller ones are more of the Econ Save. I'm seeing smaller and smaller Econ Saves around, at least in Klang. I think Bila Bila Mart is also listed. I think one of the mini markets, Bila Bila, is also quite Giant Mini. But Giant Mini, I don't see. Maybe the smaller Midens, there used to be smaller Midens around, but this is, I don't see that much anymore. Because it's not an easy market to crack. Because your margins are low.
Yeah, margins are low and it's quite saturated.
Yeah, and you're spending $20 average ticket. You need to, let's say if you want to make, I don't know, you want to make 20,000 per day, you need 1,000 customers to go into a store. Means you need to have, let's say open 10 hours, you need to have 100 customers visiting your store buying something per hour, right? They open from 10 to 10, so about 12 hours, let's say. You need to have 80, 90 customers per hour, which is quite a high footfall to reach to reach 20,000 spend per day, 20,000 revenue per day, right?
So that is by just rough gauge, you are able to come up with 20,000 already, because I have the exact number.
Right, I mean, you think about it, you have 80, 90 customers and paying, you know, means every minute, right? You scan thing and pay every minute. I don't think that is the case, right? Because you go to NSP Mart, it's not the fastest checkout experience, because usually there's a long queue.
Sometimes the machine spoils.
Sometimes the machine spoils, you have to pay cash.
Yeah. Sometimes you pay by card, they have to run to another counter to get the machine.
The experience is
bad.
I'm sure you guys have experienced the same. Right. So how much, if the ticket size is $20, right, really, to make 20,000 a day, you need 1,000 customers. Yeah, I think it's, and I don't see 80, 90 customers per day, per hour per day. Maybe only during the peak hours, maybe it's between 6 to 8 or 9, because after people pangkang, people finish work and then they go and buy their things. Right. So it's,
yeah, the official number is each store, because they have 2,500 stores, right? If you break it down to each store, every day average, they can make 10,000 ringgit.
In revenue?
In revenue.
Okay lah.
10,000 ringgit times 2,500, that's one day. Then you times 365.
That's 25 million. Is it 25 million?
I don't have calculator. My math very bad, so I'm not very sure. Whoever who got the calculator can help us out there a little bit.
10,000. It's 25 million a day.
A day?
A day.
25 million a day.
2,500 stores times 10,000 ringgit 25 million revenue.
Times 365.
9 billion.
9 billion. About right.
About right because
in 2022 their revenue is 8 billion ringgit. So 2023, 9 billion, and then maybe this year with a bit of inflation and all that.
So if you take 3,000 stores,
3,000 stores is what they want to hit in 3 years' time.
11 billion.
Whoa.
It becomes 11 billion, yeah.
Whoa. Let's do our own calculation. Let's assume they make net margin 5%. These are all plucked from the air number, because the prospectus has a lot of blanks that they haven't filled because they haven't finalized the details. So all these are just our own, based on our own behind the envelope calculation, just to gauge and see what kind of valuation we can get out of it.
550 million.
5% net. How much?
550 million.
550 million net profit.
Yeah. And they also have a lot of FD, by the way. If you look at their balance sheets, also their FD is like, they have a lot of money. Let's just put it this way. I think they earn millions in interest a year.
So,
again,
see right now, I'm a bit speechless, right? Because you have bad customer experience. Your store, for the past 20 years, looks the same. And there are so much competition coming online. yada yada. There are quite a few negative things about 99 Speed Mart. Mm. But at the same time, just look at these numbers. A rough calculation, simply press calculator. It's also 550 million ringgit already.
With 11 billion revenue lah. Yeah. But I think it's higher. I think the PBT, I think the PAT is higher.
The PAT is higher. Higher than this number, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so what do you guys think, right? If this thing is going to come online, it's going to go IPO. I know I asked this question already, but I don't think I got too much of a response. Maybe they don't like it.
Yeah. And not even digital. So they're not even digital.
Oh yes, that's the new offering that they have right now.
Is it? They're going to go digital?
They have an online shopping now where they do free delivery, but it's only for bulk purchases. So I think they're trying to target B2B segment.
Which then actually it's going to be the pasar minis that buy from them and sell it out.
Mm.
Maybe certain things that the bigger companies don't distribute. Lah. Because I know, I'm not too familiar with the business model of mini markets, but usually they'll be like a bigger manufacturer. Oh, you want to shelf our goods? Okay.
Mm.
You have to order how much?
Yeah.
Yeah, but certain things not because some brands are a bit smaller, so they don't shelf everything.
Mm.
Right? Not everyone, Nestle is not going to go to every store.
Mm.
Right? Nestle is going to the bigger guys. Right? The distributor is going to like go to the smaller guys.
Yep.
But a mini market may not get all the volume that this middle guy, this distributor one, right? Mm. So I feel
this new bulk purchase free delivery thing is a great offering because in the past, the distribution centers will have to transport the goods to the store. People go to the store and buy.
Mm.
Now, all these small businesses, SMEs, they can buy bulk from online, from 99 Speed Mart online, and they can deliver directly from the distribution center. Suddenly, your distribution center also become a revenue generator.
Mm. Mm.
So maybe with that, it is going to increase the revenue for them in the near future. I don't know.
Likely so lah.
Likely so.
Because they have quite a lot of distribution centers. Let me see.
Mm.
They have about 19 distribution centers nationwide.
That is
about 10 to 20,000 square feet.
Not big. 10 to 20,000 square feet is not big.
Over 500 delivery trucks.
Mm. Okay. I think we have shared enough of this 99 Speed Mart IPO because, again, like I said, this is a draft prospectus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information that is not confirmed, so we shouldn't also comment too much about it.
Yep.
But maybe what we should do now is to open up for Q&A. Then let's discuss it together. It will also help me to see whether I should invest or not in the future, right? So let's look at the comments and see what are the interesting questions that we can address over here. Why not you pick up the first question and try to bring it up?
Let me see.
Whoa! Somebody say the share price going to pump on day one. Those are speculations, not I say one. Everything depends on all the investors out there. What is your sentiment on that IPO on the first day lah, when it comes?
And also, what is the valuation lah?
Yes.
I think that is so crucial, right? If you overvalue your shares, it's going to be expensive and people may not subscribe.
Mm.
And it may go the other way.
Mm.
Right? If you overvalue yourself, your business, then it's going to go the other way. It may not pump. Despite all the popularity or all the news around it.
Yeah, so it comes down to how much meat the bankers are going to leave on the table. That will decide whether the first day will pump or not.
Mm.
Hmm.
Frankie and Ryan subscribing. To be confirmed, we have to wait for the final prospectus.
Okay, if you guys follow the channel long enough and if you know me long enough, I seldom participate in IPO. Mm.
Mm.
For one very simple reason. It's very hard to get. So why not keep the bullets and see how the market performs and then I just make a secondary market decision after that.
The easiest to get, which I've gotten, was Mr. DIY.
Oh, really? Mm. I thought it was hard.
It was one-to-one.
Oh, one-to-one.
It was one-to-one. So you could almost get it. It was Mr. DIY. And they did really well.
Mm.
But I was like, I thought popularity not there. Hey, subscribers so low. Mm. I actually sold it off on day one.
Mm.
It was a waste lah on my end. I think it was hindsight. Of course, it was a waste lah.
Right.
Right.
I never got lucky with IPO, so I gave up. But who knows, right? If the valuation comes off to be attractive, maybe I try my luck a bit. Like, right? Mr. DIY versus 99 Speed Mart. What's your thought?
Very different. Very different. Very different way of business model. Because I think if you've visited Mr. DIY stores lately or since their IPO, I think they have come up with a lot of own brands. A lot of home brands lah. Mr. DIY blenders, Mr. DIY, I don't know, broom, Mr. DIY, sponge and all that. So I don't think that's the model that 99 Speed Mart will go. Right? A lot of bigger retailers tend to do that, like I think Giant, Lotus. They would have their OEM, they have their own brand, their own tissue brand, their own pillows. And I think that's maybe not the route I think 99 Speed Mart would go to.
For me, I feel they are two totally different animals.
Yep.
One is a grocery store. Mm. One is a hardware store. Yes, Mr. DIY is trying to dabble into groceries as well. But you cannot go in and get 1 week of groceries and come out. You cannot do that with Mr. DIY. Mm. You can go in and get all your hardwares and all the maybe to a certain extent, all the pasar malam gadgets.
You can. Staples. Okay, when is tissue considered a staple?
I think so.
You want to buy batteries, tissues, cables, dude. Mr. DIY has so many things.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't get these kind of things in 99 Speed Mart. Because 99 Speed Mart has limited space. Their target market is people who want to go and buy groceries, food, some washing detergent, you know, that kind of stuff. It's really the household groceries kind of products, whereby Mr. DIY is the hardware kind of things. Yes, in terms of pricing strategy, they are quite similar. They provide value to customers. But I think they are in totally different market. So I don't think they cannibalize.
I think one question, maybe this I can ask you. What are the... I know you don't look in... You're not into IPOs. But I think what are the important things, I think Ridwan asked, what are the important things you would look at in a prospectus?
Because it is the first time that I look at a new company, I would start with the company's background. Mm. How the company start, who's the founder, what did he go through, and how did he grow the business until today? So that gives me an overview. Okay, so this company is like this. Then I would look at... what do you call that? Why they do this IPO? What are they using the money for? Right. So in 99 Speed Mart's situation, they're raising it for expansion. They're opening up 250 stores a year going forward, buy trucks and stuff like that. Some of the money is also going to be used to pay down some of the bank borrowings. Okay. So now you know why you take my money already, right? Then I have to see what is your financial position right now. If you are in the bad position, then of course I won't give you the money, right? Then look at the financials. If it is healthy, fantastic. After you see that, lastly, only you go into the valuation. Because you must like the company first, then only you see the thing is expensive or cheap. It's like you go and buy iPhone, right? It's not like, oh, I hear about iPhone, then I straight go and buy already. You will go to the store, you will play with it, you check what is the feature and stuff like that. So when you look at the prospectus, the process is like that. It's the same. So you go and flip here, flip there, find all the information that you want. Last, only you look at the valuation to decide whether you want to buy or not to buy. But a lot of people, they start from the last step. Oh, yo, PE.
I want to buy.
Yeah, PE 10 times only, very cheap. Faster buy, right? Sometimes it is not a good company, then no matter how cheap, it's not a good investment.
I would usually look at the financials a bit more, like how I would analyze a company. So you look at the cash flow. Has it been growing? Is this business growing in the past few years, past 3 years? Like 3 years financial, has it been growing? Have they been tidying up their books? Of course, they have been tidying up for the books, for the listing one, but you look at their return earnings. So are there a lot of advances, or does the company actually keep money in the business, right? Because they also survive COVID, you can't go out. And imagine having like 2,000, let's say 2,000 stores at a point in time. It was also not easy to maintain, right? Because you need that footfall and people weren't going out at that point in time, right? But I think also that's maybe their strategy, that's where they thrive, because you can literally walk and you don't have to drive. So you really get a lot of things from there. because of the strategy. So maybe that actually worked in their favor.
Mm.
Right. We look at their PAT. Are they, what is the margin like? Look at, find certain things. I think someone said finding their moat. I think moat is more of a
business model.
The business. I think it's a good idea to think about how, why are they different, lah?
Mm.
But yeah, so that boils back down to like, you like the company or not? Mm. How are they different than others in the market?
Yep.
Right.
Okay, somebody asked, got Zeus promo code for us or not? Some discount lah. This one you have to ask TCB because TCB also has a very good relationship with Zeus Coffee. And sometimes they will just throw coffee vouchers, right?
Well, if you watch the weekly roundup, you may get it. You may or may not get it, but you must subscribe to the newsletter. Then you will find out. We would throw
some. Yeah. Sometimes they do throw some offers on Zeus Coffee, right? Usually you'll get like cash vouchers for you to buy coffee, right? Yeah. So stay tuned to the coffee break and also to the FAQ show, the weekly roundup show where both of us are the hosts. Yeah, stay tuned. Maybe you will find out. Okay, what are the other questions? Here, let's see. Who are 99's competitors? Okay. We briefly talked about it just now. So Kmart is definitely is one of their competitor. But apart from Kmart, there's also Bila Bila Mart. There's also My News.
My News. Mm-hmm. 7-Eleven even.
Yep.
Maidin.
Mm.
Aeon.
Mm.
EconSave.
Yeah. Yep.
And all your Pasar Pasar Mini lah. But Pasar Pasar Mini has no...
But all this competition, right? I wouldn't even categorize them as a competition to begin with.
Mm.
Because 99 Speedman has 2,500 stores nationwide. I think if you talk about the rest, right? It's not so many one. I think in the range of hundreds. Maybe 1,000 plus a little bit. This one got 2,500. And every year open 250. So I think they are by far... is the most extensive mini-marts in Malaysia.
They are. I'm looking at like this. I think they also actually highlighted this in their prospectus, right?
Mm.
Their inventory turnover days is about 47.
Mm.
So that's how fast like their inventory turn. I think that's quite... That's not too bad because for every inventory that don't turn, right? It's... also going to take up your shelf, going to take up shelf space, which means your money is not actually moving, right? But this 47 days, I think it's quite competitive in this sense. If you look at the table, you'd be like, wow.
Mm.
PBT is 6%. PBT margin 6%. Is
6%. Yeah. Fair, because most of their stuff are quite cheap. Mm. So it's very hard for them to get a very high margin in that sense.
Yeah. But they're also the second highest in their in that competitor analysis table.
Mm.
They have. First one is actually KKMart. About 10.4% PBT.
Right. Yeah. Well, somebody says here, 99 of them change their products and they just consistently restock the same item. You can almost memorize what they are on the shelves. That's true. That's one strategy to keep their costs low. Then you don't need to keep thinking what to put there and stuff like that. You just continue to replenish the same products.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for your trucks to go and pick up from where. The trucks won't get lost. The process is the same. Everything is the same. So as you do it over and over again, it creates efficiency. And the efficiency can help you to save costs.
I think maybe they also have a group of data scientists behind these guys that we are not aware of one, right?
Maybe.
They just know... Because you look at the sheer volume, right? At 10,000 per day, right? That's 20,000. So that's 500 tickets a day per store. Right?
Mm.
And what kind of items are being bought? There is actually a data being kept, like even their warehouses. I'm sure there's a set of data, right? Hey, what stocks are moving fast?
Mm.
What is moving really good? Let's continue stocking them up. Because if it's not broken, why change it?
Mm.
Like why would you want to stock anything else other than what people are regularly going there to buy?
Mm.
Right?
I used to go there and buy milk powder a lot. Baby formula milk powder. And usually when I buy one box.
Is it cheaper?
It's cheaper than anywhere else.
Even on like online...
Most of the time, it's almost the same as online. So when I need it urgently, I cannot be waiting for 24 hours, 48 hours, right? I'll just go SpeedMart and buy. Off-topic question. If your stock portfolio is less than 100,000, how many stocks is too many until it dilutes your gains currently? What is PF? already 40,000 and 12 counters. I think for less than 100,000, 12 counters is quite a lot of stocks that you own. What do you think?
So how I allocate it, I usually allocate it based on a percentage, 5 or 10%. It really depends on how you plan your strategy.
Mm.
I don't go all in on one stock. So for my diversification, how I do it is that I allocate 5 to 10% of my portfolio, whichever I'm comfortable in. Because if you're expecting to make outsized gains, definitely not.
Mm.
Right? But if you make a steady gains, I think that's how I'm doing it, how I've been practicing it. It's 5, 10%, yeah, okay, so you take 40,000, at most you should have 20 counters. At most.
Mm.
Right? Anything more than maybe that's a bit over diversified.
I can't concentrate if I have 20 stocks in my portfolio.
For sure.
Currently, my portfolio, I only have two.
Wow.
I only have two.
Wow.
Yeah. Few reasons. One main reason is because most of the money is in Bitcoin. So I don't need to look at stocks. So that's one main reason.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the remaining money that is in the stock market, therefore, it's concentrated lah, and I only
in
have
blue two. Chips or
no?
Oh,
both are like growth. US stocks.
Okay,
and both are not blue chip stocks.
Okay, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe I can throw some clues here. One of it is a Malaysian origin company, but moved the company to Singapore and listed in the US. That's one of my holding. Maybe you know which one is it. The other one is, again, it is very biased because now the hottest asset is Bitcoin, right?
Yep.
So apart from Bitcoin, what else can I leverage on from the stock market? Therefore, I put some money into Michael Saylor's company. And That day I just read an article. Do you know that if you buy that company, the return is much higher than if you buy Bitcoin?
I read. Yeah. And I've got friends who experienced the same.
Yeah.
They had exposure in this. But by the way, this is not financial advice. Yeah, so do your research. But I had friends who had, I think, bought it last month and saw outsized gains within the span of... But of course, that is correlated with Bitcoin price.
It's correlated with Bitcoin price, but it's also because when you invest money in the stock market, the nature of the stock market is it tries to price in your future prospects today, right? So if... And today we all know that MicroStrategy, their main business now is to become a proxy of Bitcoin. They have become the largest corporate owner of Bitcoin. I think they have 205,000 Bitcoins or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So it has turned the whole business like that. So 205,000 Bitcoin is worth around 15 to 20 billion US dollar, but their market cap is double of that amount because investors are
anticipating
that, you know, in the future it may go up. So I buy it today. Hopefully in the future I can get more out of it. So you have that leverage from the stock market apart from just Bitcoin itself. But it's a very dangerous strategy. I have to admit that.
Mm.
But it's also because of my investment nature where I'm more trading centric.
Yeah.
And I'm not the DCA kind of person. So I know when to pull the plug when I have to.
Like you hit your... TP, your target price or your profit taking level, then you would just, okay, I'm
in fact, every 1-2 days when I see the prices not doing so well, I would just come out for a while first. But of course there is a safer way to invest in Bitcoin if you don't want to go into MicroStrategy, because you are paying 2 times more than the Bitcoin price today if you buy MicroStrategy. You can look into Bitcoin spot ETF, right?
And which are still seeing that net inflows.
Yes.
I think still seeing that inflows.
Correct. I think past 2 days, 1 day or 2 days.
Hit $1 billion, I think.
Hit $1 billion in a day of inflow into Bitcoin ETF. Since we're in the topic of Bitcoin, right? So thanks to you guys who always support our channel, and we are always trying to bring a lot of all these financial products to our viewers. One of our very close partner is M Plus Global, as all of you know, right? And with all your support, we always go and negotiate with them and say, hey, you know, we have all these supporters who would like to get some sort of perks from you lah, if they want to sign up, right? It cannot be just what, right? So we managed to negotiate with them and they have agreed to give one free BRRR share to the new signups on M Plus Global account. And if you deposit 2,000 into the account, you will get a free BRRR share. What is BRRR? BRRR is Valkyrie Bitcoin ETF. Yeah. So it's one of the many Bitcoin spot ETF in the markets today. Yeah, so if you want a free Bitcoin ETF, you sign up for the account, you deposit 2,000 ringgit, you don't even need to buy anything, you straight away you get a BRRR share for yourself. Any other questions that you see?
I'm interested with that one. I think, wouldn't the retail market size be quite stable? I think Luther asked, what kind of market share does 99 have and how much more can they grow? Right.
What do you think?
I think as more and more, I'm also seeing a lot of houses around, right? As people start more and more families, yeah, I think there is a market there. I think like people like myself, like yourself, you would go buy groceries. Last time was our parents, right? But when you grow up, you have kids, then you would buy more and more groceries. So I think if you look at housing developments, it's still coming up. I would say there is a correlation in that. As the population grow, the market size will also grow.
Mm.
Right? As people want more food, want more drinks, want more tissues or whatever. Yeah. I think there is a potential. I'm not sure how big their market is. I'm not sure if it's listed in the prospectus.
Yeah. So, I want to answer this question from a different perspective, right? Yes, the population is growing and all that, but year in, year out, Malaysian population is around 30 million, plus minus, right? It cannot go anywhere. So as you open more and more stores, where are you going to get more customers and all that, right? But I want to share with you this retail concept, and it is a wonderful concept by Starbucks in Malaysia before all this.
Yep.
Before all this boycott and whatnot, before the boycott, if you pay attention to it, you notice they will have two Starbucks shops open in the same row, one at the beginning of the road, one at the end of the road, and both Starbucks are full.
I think Howard Schultz have spoke about this strategy before also in the States, where like a block of buildings like around the corner can have a few stores.
Correct.
I can't recall why, but I've also got the data on the grocery-based retail industry segment, but I'll let you finish first.
Yeah, so one of the many reasons is psychology, right? So when you walk past the row of the shop, let's say you walk on the first shop, it's Starbucks. Okay, I smell good coffee, I saw people holding coffee cup and all that, but nah, maybe another day. Then you continue walking. By the end of the road, you see another Starbucks and the same smell and all that, and it's like, I might as well just get a coffee lah. Right, so that's one of the psychology
stickiness lah.
The stickiness inside and one way that they market the brands themselves. That's why you see 7-Eleven deploys the same strategy. All these convenience stores, they deploy the same strategy. Very often you see two or three stops pop up in the same vicinity of area, simply because number one is to provide convenience, of course. Number two is they want to keep showing the brand in your face, right? Until the point you say, let me just go in and grab something. Yeah. So those are all business strategies that I think they can pull people away from, let's say, they only see one competitor's mini-mart every 5 km. I wouldn't remember the brand, man. But I keep on seeing 99.
Everywhere you go,
it's everywhere 99. I go, I see 99. Yeah. It becomes a psychology that next time I want to go at 99.
If I buy something, just go 99. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I would think, right? So let's just go back to a bit of numbers, right? The grocery-based retail industry, right, in 2022 was about 72.7 billion. Right? So this includes your supermarkets, hypermarkets, convenience store, mini markets, and other grocery-based retailers, right? By 2027, it is expected to grow to 96 billion. So that's easily about 30% growth in a span of 3 more years. right? And the mini market segment, which I think this our the topic today is in, right? The mini market segment. It's about 21 billion in 2022. It's going to grow to 27, expected to grow to 27 billion, 27.5 billion to be exact by 2027. So again, that's about 20-30% growth. So you look at 8 billion revenue in 2020, right? 2022 for 99 Speed Mart. If that remains the same, 30%, yeah, it's going to hit its 10.4 billion, 11 billion target.
Wow.
Status quo, no change, no other competition, you know.
Yeah. So probably this is going to be one of the biggest IPO of the year in Malaysia, right? But nonetheless, any more questions that you see over here that you would like to pick it up? Maybe just answer one last question, then we can call it a night.
Let's see. Nine are mini marts. Their turnovers are hypermarket levels. Yeah, if you look at the prospectus, I think that's just us by Nine Aqua. Right? Mini market.
Nah, I don't think there's any more questions to it already.
Yes. So, okay. We look at financial year ended 2022, right? 99 Speed Mart, 8 billion in revenue. Okay. We look at a hypermart, like Aeon Big. Aeon Big, 1.5 billion in 2022. Lotus, 3.7 billion in 2022. Right. So 99 Speed Mart already tap out these two already.
Combined also not as big
so
as
the sheer volume of 99 Speed Mart and the brand affinity and it's just that awareness that it has. Yeah, we look at it, you know, we look at it, it's a small business, $20 ticket, but
yep,
it works in their scale.
Yep. Okay. Anyways, I don't think there's any more questions. We talk about Bitcoin, we talk about audit and stuff like that. We also briefly plug in M+ stuff over there. But I have an exclusive interview with M+ Global.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you want to find out whether M+ is safe or not, or what kind of interesting offerings that they're going to come out with and stuff like that, the video is just live now on the FAQ show. So after this live ended, you can just switch over to FAQ show and understand for yourself what is behind the scene of a broker.
Yeah. I'm quite interested in that one as well.
Okay, nonetheless, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for filling it in so I don't need to do this myself. Yeah, always nice to have someone to talk to. Okay,
hope you found this informative.
Yep, hope to see you guys again next week. See you. Bye-bye.